Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are finishing up a special hour-long conversation with an extraordinary national security practitioner, my colleague at the Center for Security Policy, Claire Lopez, our Vice President for Research and Analysis. Claire is, as I've mentioned throughout, an expert on matters involving Iran, drawing upon her time in the Central Intelligence Agency's clandestine services to really understand what an entity like the Islamic Republic of Iran is about through the use of concealment and deception, as well as terrorism and outright threats. Claire, I wanted to visit with you about specifically the deal that is now in the offing with President Obama. By some accounts, it's imminent, basically fully cooked, if not all of its particulars quite nailed down. But before we get to that, just a kind of a broader perspective from your vantage point as to what we're dealing with this regime. You participated in a marvelous truth squad on Capitol Hill on this subject recently, and just recap for our audience the true character of this operation. Are these people we can safely do business with?
Well, you know, I think we have to start, and that's the perfect place to start, the nature of the regime. And this regime, of course, came to power by revolution in 1979, and its leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini, immediately made very clear that he was conducting a revolution on behalf of Islam. It wasn't about Iran or the nationalism of a state, a nation state. It was about Islam and putting Islam in power. Of course, reverting back to essentially the entire history of Persia, with the exception of the 20th century, which many people, I think, forget it was an aberration in the Shiite jihadist history of the Iranian regime dating back to 1500. But very shortly, a constitution was produced after 1979 and revised in 1989, and very clearly says that this country, this regime in Iran, is a jihadist regime, and that its purpose is to spread the revolution throughout the entire world, to institute Islamic governance over the entire world, and to impose and enforce Sharia, Islamic law. And then it even quotes the Quran in its constitution and says, quotes verse 860, which says that strike terror into the hearts of the enemy. Muster all of your power to the utmost of your ability to strike terror into the hearts of the enemy. And that's in their constitution. And so with that understanding, I think we have to look at that and the Shiite vision, the millennialist vision of return of the 12th Imam, which is the messianic figure for the Shiites, and the idea that the Mahdi, or the 12th Imam as they call him, can be encouraged or brought back earlier, quicker than he might otherwise have returned to Earth by instituting chaos and strife and warfare on Earth. And then you couple that with a regime, apocalyptic vision with a regime that is absolutely driving for nuclear weapons capability. And you've got a truly concerning situation on your hands.
Claire, we've been talking, of course, a lot on this program and elsewhere in the country about Benjamin Netanyahu's warnings of a truly existential threat to his state. Do you agree with those who believe that there is actually emerging now in this nuclear program of Iran, when coupled with their various ballistic missile programs and the sorts of threats that you've indicated are in their DNA, their political DNA, that there's an existential threat emerging to the United States as well?
Yes, I would. I mean, we'll recall, of course, that the Iranian regime has always talked about the big Satan, that's the United States, us, and the little Satan, which is Israel. But to put these things in perspective, you know, little Satan doesn't mean that they're going to disregard Israel and focus only on the United States. But we have to remember, again, as our good friend and colleague Andrew Bostom has pointed out in many of his columns, his writings, and, of course, his recent book, in it he talks about the particular animus of Shiite Islam against the Jews, and a very pernicious system called that rests on the concept of uncleanliness, of najis against Jews, that is inherent to Shiite Islam. And we see that very much in play again with this current regime. So it's not just questions about the the modern state of Israel occupying land once conquered by Islam, and that must always be gotten back, of course, under the doctrine of sacred space. We're talking about the system of dinitude under which Jews for centuries upon centuries were supposed to be second-class citizens, and now that they've risen up and reclaimed their ancestral homeland, created a state, and had the nerve to defend themselves ably and produce a vibrant modern country, all of these things play into the Iranian regime's hatred, inherent hatred, which is, of course, Jew hatred that is inherent to Islam itself, but particularly to Shiite Islam. But then, no, it's not just Israel. We know, for instance, that Iran has built, and even we've seen photographs of it, missiles on a launch pad, intercontinental ballistic missiles with the reach to the range to reach the United States, continental United States from Iran. Doesn't need a missile like that for Israel.
Yeah, it only makes sense if you have in mind not only being able to target the United States, but being able to use nuclear weapons for that purpose. And Claire, again, you've spent a lot of time studying this Iranian regime. You understand both the dangers that are inherent in it and in its various threatening aspects, including terrorism, of course, and cyber warfare and threats to our electric grid and this ballistic missile capability and penetration of our hemisphere and putting in place Hezbollah cells and on and on. What would you recommend at this moment in time American policymakers do about this particular facet of this global jihad and more broadly addressing the movement as a whole?
Well, Frank, I would go, of course, to our own Center for Security Policy Secure Freedom Strategy, a document that we produced a few weeks ago and that outlines the broader strategy that our administration, our government, the United States government more broadly, needs to employ against the global jihad movement in its entirety, not just Iran, which is a nation-state element of the global jihad movement, but that movement includes so much more and includes, of course, as you just said, proxies that Iran has backed and funded and armed and trained over the decades, including Hezbollah, of course, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And let's not forget Iran's longstanding partnership in terror, operational partnership in terror with Al-Qaeda. We have never, ever held Iran or Hezbollah responsible to account for the attacks of 9/11 in which they were deeply involved. And so the first step that we would have to take is to acknowledge that there is a jihad movement that is broadly involved and across the entire world. It also is, it dates back really to the time of Muhammad and the beginning of the first jihad with the Muslim armies and Muhammad, and has persisted ever since then, except when it is forced to be pushed down. And so acknowledge that jihad, acknowledge that Iran is part of it, hold them to account for all of the attacks that they have committed over the years against us, our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, the supply of explosive devices to the Shiite terror militias, with which we are partnered once again right now in Iraq. End that partnership. Put the Iranian regime on notice.
Not reward them any further with either the end of sanctions or the formal legitimation of their nuclear weapons program, as you've said, Claire Lopez. So much more to talk about, and we hope to do so again in the near future. Claire, thank you for all that you do with us at the Center for Security Policy these days. It is incalculably important. I appreciate particularly your help in pulling together that secure freedom strategy you mentioned earlier, and commend it to all of our listeners. They can find it for free at securefreedom.org. Claire, we'll look forward to talking with you, I hope, in the weeks ahead. We'll look forward to talking to the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Afty. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.